Today on episode number 927 of the School of Podcasting, we're talking a little social media with Katie Brinkley. We're going to find out how we can do more by doing less. What? Yeah, I know. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your award-winning Hall of Fame podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you are new to the show, this is where I help you plan. I help you launch. I help you grow. And if you want to, monetize your podcast. My website, schoolofpodcasting.com. If you use the coupon code LISTENER, that's LISTENER, you can save on either a monthly or yearly subscription. And of course, that comes worry-free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Today, we have the lovely and talented Katie Brinkley, and if you don't know what to do on social or you're not getting the results you want from social, you'll definitely want to hang around for that. But right now, I love these stories. This is from Neil Scott from Recovery Coast to Coast, and he has a lovely Because of My Podcast story.
Welcome to Because of My Podcast, where we spotlight the results people are achieving because of their podcast.
Hey, Dave, Neil Scott here, producer and host of Recovery Coast to Coast, the national podcast, a podcast for people in recovery from addiction. And for those who may have a problem with alcohol or other drugs, it's at recoverycoasttocoast.org. Our podcast features prominent people in long-term recovery from alcoholism and other drug addiction. And recent guests have included Judy Collins, astronaut Buzz Aldrin, Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Bonnie Raitt, plus people in everyday long-term recovery. For 17 years, Recovery Coast to Coast was a nightly radio show on an iHeart station in Seattle. 3 years ago, we upgraded to a national podcast and have published close to 100 episodes. Because of My Podcast, on May 19th in Denver, I will be receiving the prestigious Michael Q. Ford Excellence in Journalism Award, presented by the National Association of Addiction Treatment Providers, NAATP. It's the national organization that provides leadership, advocacy training, and support services to ensure the equitable availability and highest quality of addiction treatment. The CEOs of the top treatment programs in the country will be on hand for the opening ceremony and awards banquet, and I am honored to be chosen as the recipient of the 2024 Michael Q. Ford Journalism Award for carrying the message of hope and the promise of recovery to listeners of my podcast. Previous winners of this national award include New York Times journalists, award-winning movie producers, best-selling authors, and more. I'm honored to be among this prestigious honor roll of recipients, and it is because of my podcast. And I might also add that being a member of the School of Podcasting has played a pivotal role in the deployment of my podcast. I'm part of a family of fellow podcasters, and I also have access to the best in the business, Dave Jackson. I have encountered a number of problems over the past 3 years, and each time Dave helped right the ship with an incredible amount of knowledge and patience and kindness. There are a growing number of so-called podcast consultants out there popping up all over the internet who are all sizzle and very little steak. I've been in radio broadcasting for over 30 years, and believe me, Dave's the real deal. So in conclusion, my podcast success story is not just because of my podcast, but also because of Dave Jackson and his tireless, unselfish dedication to furthering the podcast space. Again, my name is Neil Scott. My podcast is for people in recovery or those who may have a problem with alcohol or other drugs. You can find all of our podcasts at recoverycoasttocoast.org.
Thank you, Neil. I didn't realize you threw in a plug there for me. I appreciate that. When I say there are amazing people in the School of Podcasting community, there are people like Neil that have had years in radio along with many, many other types of people of shapes and sizes, all looking to serve their audience. And speaking of amazing people, here's my talk with Katie Brinkley. All right. Well, joining me via eCam at the moment, here's the thing. A couple months ago, I asked the audience, I was like, hey, what are you not going to do in 2024? And let's just say social media did not make, like, it was pretty high on the list of things that everybody was ready to give up on. And yet I go listen to the Rocky Mountain marketing show, and there's Katie explaining that if you post consistently on social, like, you can boost engagement, sales, whatever you want to call it, like 33%, 36. It was a decent number, whatever it was. And I was like, maybe we're just not using it right. That could be. And I bump into you all the time. Every time I'm in Cap Show and there's that, oh, there's Katie, and there's that, and Podcast Movement, oh, there's Katie. You're going to be in Cleveland next week. There's Katie. And I was like, you know what? We should have her on the show to help us answer these questions. So Katie Brinkley, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be joining you because, like you said, we run around in the same circles. It's about time this happened, right?
Yeah. And it seems like everybody's trying to use social media, like, let's just, you know, Twitter, Instagram, we know what social media is. And we're trying to get them to come over and listen to our podcast. And I was like, well, maybe that's the first thing we're doing wrong, maybe?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I don't know about you, but when I go to listen to a podcast, I don't open up Facebook. That's what I do when I'm ready to go kill time. So I've got nothing better to do. What's happening on, you know, old FB?
Yeah.
But I know right where to go to listen to my podcasts every morning on my drive into the office. And it's not a social media platform.
Yeah. And I'm with you. If I'm okay, I'm at Walmart, I've got four people in front of me in line and there's no other cashiers. I'm like, okay, let's, and usually that's it. It's scrolling. And I always tell people that if you are going to do anything on social, the first thing you have to do is stop the scroll. And that's not very easy to do. Obviously, you can use it to boost your community, but you're not going to do it by saying episode 16 is out. So what are we doing wrong and what's a better way to approach social?
Well, I think that one of the biggest misconceptions of social media is that you need to be posting more. And posting more is not the same as posting consistently. You have to keep in mind that, one, not everybody consumes content the same way. Not everybody is on all of the social media platforms. And all these platforms have different ways for you to create content. So if you're only publishing reels on Instagram and hoping that you're going to get a whole bunch of downloads, you're missing out on the people that check their Instagram stories. You're missing out on people that enjoy carousel posts. You're missing out on going live and really connecting with your audience on platform, on Instagram. There's all these different ways to post. And if you show up with a strategy in mind of not, how can I get more downloads? How can I get more customers? How can I get more leads? But what's in it for them? Why do they care? And if you know what, why they care, so you can create the content for them, you're going to not only just build a community, you're going to grow your show.
Nice. And I've heard that before, that like what works on, and we're just going to say Twitter because that's what everybody still calls it, you know? You know, one, what you do on this platform doesn't work on another platform. And so let's define, here's the thing. When you say, well, this doesn't work on this platform, like, how do we gauge? I know this is kind of total 101 question, but how do we gauge what works? Are we looking at, I know there's likes, there's views, there's this, there's that. Like, how do you gauge something like, oh, this worked because blank?
That's a great question. And I want to turn it back on to you, Dave. So you've said Twitter a few times.
Right.
What is your favorite social media platform?
Probably, it used to be Twitter. Probably Facebook, because, you know, gray hair. I dabble in Instagram, and I tried TikTok for a good month and a half, and just was like, okay, there's only 24 hours in a day. And I realized I can't say TikTok doesn't work, because it was a month and a half. That's not a real trial. But I was just like, but I was just taking things. I would record a vertical video, and I would throw it on Instagram, then I'd throw it on TikTok, and then I'd throw it on Facebook. And I was kind of like, okay, well, you know, look at me. I'm using my phone to make videos. I'm like a young kid now. Yay. But it was just something that just took more time. And I was like, all right, well, I know, obviously, you're a strategist, and there was no strategy. It was just like whatever was off the top of my head. I'd fire up the phone, I'd say something, try to keep it under a minute, and send it off on its way.
Well, and that's the thing, Dave, is that there are two different strategies. There's the strategy of posting as a business owner and the strategy of posting as an influencer. And no matter what, this is where I think a lot of business owners get confused, is that posting as an influencer is very, very different. Mm. And they typically have one platform and they post a ton of content on that one platform. It's kind of the Gary Vee approach of, you know, you take one piece of content and you repurpose it 20 different ways. But if you're trying to run a business, who has time for that? You know, Gary Vee has, you know, an entire team that can take one clip of him going to a garage sale and turn it into, you know, 48 different pieces of content and a newsletter and, you know, and then an NFT and all sorts of things. So you have to go in with the strategy of a business owner and know who your target audience is. And once you know who your audience is, you can then focus in on one or two social media platforms. Mm-hmm. Up until 2023, I was only on two platforms and I have a social media agency because that was all the time that I had available. That's all the capacity that I had. And so I went all in on Instagram and LinkedIn. Up until then, or up until 2023, that was it. In 2023, I started posting on Facebook. And because my team grew, I had the time, I had the capacity for creating more content. But with all of this, knowing who it is that you're talking to is going to make a world of difference. And this is where you have to look at your insights. If you're set up as a digital creator on Instagram, on Facebook, you're set up as a creator or a business account on Instagram, or if you're set up as a creator account on LinkedIn, you get assets to an entire world of information and data on who is following you and who's connecting with you and who's engaging with you. So I know on Instagram, the majority of my audience are women. 74% are women between the ages of 35 and 44 years old. So I know they don't mind if I use the pink in my posts as much, you know, because here's Katie again in the pink. Yeah. Whereas over on LinkedIn, I use a lot more of the navy blue brand color. It sounds like it's like, ugh. But I mean, on LinkedIn, I have a lot more C-suites following me. I know, you know, like that they typically have work at a business between at least 100 to 10,000 employees. So the type of content I'm sharing over there has a little bit of a different tone. Instead of sharing about how I used a tool and it gave me more of my time so that I could spend more time with my family, maybe I'm talking on LinkedIn about how this tool allowed me to scale my business and grow my team. Still talking about the same thing, just positioning it for that audience.
Different story for different people.
Exactly. And that's where, again, knowing who it is that you're talking to is going to make such a difference with getting results from the posts that you're putting out.
Now, Katie has four pillars that she uses to post on social.
It's a different way of thinking instead of just saying, hey, listen to the podcast. Why aren't you listening to the podcast?
And we'll get to that right after this.
If you don't believe me when I say the School of Podcasting is the best place to learn all things podcasting, maybe you'll believe Craig from the Live Well and Flourish show.
Marketing, the School of Podcasting, you mentioned the mastermind group.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you that one of the biggest value propositions is being part of a community.
But wait, there's more.
We love spending money on gear. I even ask you, should I get a new microphone? But you know, the money that I've spent on School of Podcasting has given a lot greater returns than if I would have spent twice as much on gear. You know, when it was time to renew, I didn't take 30 seconds to think about it. I just renewed.
Can I pull that sound clip and use it in an ad lib?
Yeah, please. Please do. Yeah.
Sure, we've got coaching. We've got courses. Come for those, but stay for the community. schoolofpodcasting.com/listener. Let's see what we can do together.
You started a podcast, you threw together a website, but you have no idea how to maximize the impact of that website. I've got a new podcast for you. Check it out at yourpodcastwebsite.com. So here's the strategy Katie uses on social.
It's telling you're building an audience as you post and getting attractive people that you actually want to listen to your show that are raising their hand saying, well, about time you shared the link to this, Dave. I've been dying to listen to it all week. I didn't know there was actually a podcast on this. Thank you.
So I know the first one is an awareness post.
Yes. So the awareness post is drawing people in and utilizing these platforms algorithms to your advantage. So based on, let's just say you're Facebook for you, Dave, we'll just do Facebook examples here right now on Facebook. That's just the Facebook, like one sentence, like a sentence with a different colored background. I wish that there was a cool term for it, but right. You know what I'm talking about, yeah, right? Yeah,
we've all seen it.
Yeah. And those are what are getting the most reach on the platform right now. So you're playing the algorithm to help you get seen by your audience more. And it can be posting an unpopular opinion, asking a question, stating something that you've learned. So for example, maybe on like for this episode, you could say like, I finally decided to stop posting so much. The freedom is amazing. And it's just like, it's just a statement. And you might have a whole bunch of people that like it, or yay, Dave, you know, way to jump off the social media hamster wheel, you know, whatever. People are going to see it. They'll start commenting on it. And again, getting pushed out further and further in the Facebook algorithm. Think of this as your wide net to reach as many people as possible. So yeah, so for Facebook, the awareness post is, it's really kind of working backwards from what goal you want people to take at the end of the week. So the theme of the week would be on stop posting so much on social media. Maybe that's the theme. And you want them to listen to this podcast episode. So you work backwards from, I want them to listen to this podcast episode about Katie's four post strategy. How am I going to get them there? Well, let's bank an unpopular opinion for my awareness post.
Interesting. And then I understand step two is a tip or some sort of tutorial.
A tip, a tutorial, an elaboration post. So for example, it could just be a long caption. You could go live. The elaboration post is where you get to establish yourself as the thought leader, giving people value. So why do people want to trust you? Why should they listen to your show? If they really wanted to learn more about social media posting or anything, didn't they just go listen to my show? Well, you're going to share some of the actionable tips that you learned during our episode. So this is your opportunity to step into the spotlight and really wow a lot of the people who maybe haven't seen your posts in their feed for a while. You just made them aware by your awareness post. Now's your chance to educate them one step further and really step into the spotlight.
Yeah, I love it because the first one is kind of, like you said, really wide open. And now you're getting a little more specific, which then leads you to the third post, which is a community builder. So what does that look like?
This one is my favorite post because it allows you to step into your social media. With social media and everyone being on it and all of these brands and influencers and, you know, it's hard to step in front of the camera. Like where, you know, you reached out to me on this episode, hey, are you okay doing video for it? And, you know, maybe two years ago, I probably would have said no, and I would have been really hot and sweaty and nervous, but I've gotten used to doing video and it took me a while to get there, but people want to do business with you. People want to have a human to do business with. People want to feel like they know, like, and trust someone. And when you, those community posts, that's where you're going to build your true fans, the people that are going to buy, not only just buy from you, but they're going to tell all their friends about you. They're going to want to refer business to you. And it all comes from those community posts. So like I was saying earlier on Instagram, maybe I share a picture of me and my daughter and I talk about that tool that saved us a bunch of time and how it allowed me to become her softball coach or something. just by using this tool, a lot of my audience over there is going to resonate with that and want to engage with it. And they've, oh, Katie has a daughter. That's so cool. My daughter's 9'2". Or, wow, she plays softball and she's a coach. That's cool. Did you play in high school? Or did you play in college? You never know what part of you people are going to connect with. And so having those community posts, you're going to have the opportunity to connect with your audience on a very personal level. These community posts, whether you want to share how you overcame something, a lesson that you learned that relates back to the theme, or if you haven't really ever done anything like this, maybe sharing a client testimonial or how you helped a client overcome this and the way that you worked through this problem that you helped them solve together. These should be the posts that you look most forward to every week, because it should come the most naturally. It's you sharing you.
And the thing I hear in all three of these is a story. You're not just saying, hey, I saved time with this. It's just a little more of a story. And as we get closer, we finally get to step four, or post four, I guess we should say. And this is the one people are going to go, oh, finally. And this is the action post. So I know I always make fun of people that go, episode 16 is out, because A, we don't know what episode 16 is about. It's not a very good title, episode 16. So what is a good action post?
And just going off of that too, I mean, if you're just sharing the cover art and saying episode 16 is out, again, people are just going to be white noise and they're going to scroll right on by.
Right.
And if you notice, Dave, like none of the posts that we've done so far have said that there's even a podcast that they can listen to. We've not told them to do anything. We've kept them on social media and kept them engaged, which is, again, what the algorithm wants us to do. They want people to stay on their platform. So if you've been bringing these people in to engage with your content all week, now by the time you've asked them to actually leave social media to go one step further with you, you've already got higher placement in the algorithm. More people are going to see this post. And you're going to have the right people seeing it that are ready to leave social media with you. So it's the action post. It's asking people to go one step further with you. So for example, maybe you share a short clip from this podcast. If you just share a clip of me talking about social media on your feed, people aren't going to care because they don't know who I am. But if you start with you saying, holy cow, I've been doing social media all wrong. And I talked about it with Katie Brinkley, author of The Social Shift, on this week's episode. People, wait, Dave did what? Hold on. And now you cut over to me saying something smart. Hopefully I say something smart in this episode that you could clip to. But that's where, again, people already know, like, and trust you, seeing you show up in the feed first, just saying like, wow, I got this takeaway, and then giving a little bit of a tease. You're going to have a lot more people going to say, well, she says that. What else does she say? Of course I want to listen, Dave. Thanks for sharing.
That is what I believe the fun term is. It's an information gap, right? You're doing the tease. That's actually what I'm talking about at Podcast Movement, is we need to do information gaps a lot better versus, you know, hey, my mom found a Picasso in the attic. Wait till you hear about it. Well, we just gave away the whole thing. You got a little bit of a tease in there. Well,
yeah.
Of course, because we live in a microwave, you know, society, how long does it take to grow a significant audience on social media?
I have a different belief of growing a ton of followers versus growing the right followers.
Oh, preach, girl, preach.
Clubhouse was where I had my biggest following, which, I mean, it's nothing like having 100,000 followers on a dead social media app, but I do. But I mean, like on Instagram, I have like 7,000, I have like 5,000 on LinkedIn and like 2,000 on Facebook. But everything that I'm doing is, I know who I'm talking to. And I know that on Instagram, I can talk about, hey, you should come to this event, or you should sign up for this, buy the book. It's a very different way of talking to my Instagram audience, because I know them so well. I know that I don't get a ton of done for you leads from Instagram. LinkedIn is my platform for that. So I'm talking about different offers, different services over there. And I only need to have a certain amount of leads coming in. Do we all want more podcast downloads? Absolutely. But I think that if you're just saying, use your podcast to help grow what it is that you sell, whether it's, okay, I want people to sign up for a social audit with me. How can I use this podcast that I just recorded to have that be the action? People will know by seeing like clips of the podcast or inserting it, you know, like a YouTube short into a LinkedIn article or anything. They'll see like, okay, well, there's obviously more information on this, but I want to take people to booking a social audit with me. How can I use the podcast to help get more sales in that regard?
Well, and since you brought it up, what is a social audit? What does that look like? I mean, obviously you're going to go over and look at their social, but like, what are you looking for?
Yeah. So with the social audit, we look at what they're currently doing, what's working most often, what's not working,
right?
Where can we see improvements? What types of posts have worked in the past? What are your competitors doing and what's working for them? And so we look at the full scope and then build out a full month's worth of content using this four post strategy based off of what you have in your offers, what you have coming up for launches. And if you have a podcast or a blog that we can use to help sell all of that.
And then there are always those people that get like really nitty gritty and they're like, should I post at 7:30 a.m. or 7:35 a.m.? And on Tuesdays or Thursdays or Wednesday, does it matter that much when you post, or is it just more about being consistent with content?
Again, I'm going to be a little bit kind of a black sheep with this answer. I don't think it matters that much. What matters is when you're on the platform. So full transparency, like I go through my own social media burnouts, even with posting less on social media. You know, I produce two podcast episodes a week. I have to have a newsletter. I've got like, so I mean, sometimes social media is extremely overwhelming and I start posting only twice a week, which again, like I don't recommend, but the reason I can do that is because even though I'm not creating the content, I'm on the platforms engaging with my target audience. So I spend 10 minutes every day, not just engaging with the feed, which is where I think a lot of people get confused. It's like, oh, well, I'm on social media. Yeah, I see the feed. I very rarely am on social media for fun. Most of the time when I'm on it, I'm on there working. So I'll pop on for 10 minutes onto Facebook and I'll go into different Facebook groups that I know that my ideal client is in. And I will comment on posts, give away information, you know, for free, my thoughts and opinions for free. I will comment on my ideal client's posts on Instagram. There's hashtags you can find. So hashtag Denver Realtor. I do a lot of speaking at real estate events. I post on a ton of realtor posts. I'm not looking to buy a house, but it's one of the easiest ways for you to get in front of your target audience without having to create a ton of content. And if you have been creating content that your ideal client will connect with on that platform, by the time Katie Brinkley commented on my post, who's this person? They head over there and they see some post, but might be 2 weeks old. It still is going to be relevant to them because it's the information that they're interested in learning.
And I can see that. And when I look at my website stats, I can see how much traffic is coming from Facebook and how much is coming from this or an ad or things like that. And I'm always amazed because I spend a lot of time on Facebook groups answering questions. And there's enough of exactly what you just said. Who is this guy that keeps coming in and answering questions? And then they click on it and I end up at my website. So the other thing, speaking of that, do you have any tools to help people figure out? Because I'm sure there's all this activity going on. Do you have a favorite tool in terms of like, how do I track what's working and what's not? And, you know, all the hashtags and all that other fun filled stuff that goes into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of different tools out there that are designed for if you want to start using social media strategically and not just the spaghetti at the wall method. My favorite tool is a tool called Metricool. And I use a number of them, but Metricool is the one that I like to talk about for the DIYer, because you can schedule your posts in there. You can see the best times of day to post. You can track all of your hashtags in there. You can track your competitors in there, see what they're doing. What posts are they doing that are working? How often are they posting? You get to see everything about your social account, your audience, and what your competitors are doing. And you can schedule it all in there. And you can, they even have an AI tool built in. So if you want to have AI rewrite something, that's built in. It's my favorite tool. Again, it's called Metricool, and it's a very affordable tool for the DIYer.
Yeah. And I'll have links to Katie's site. You have a whole bunch of other tools. I saw CapShow in there and a bunch of other ones that you recommend. But I know I can see a lot of people going, well, this is a lot of time. How am I going to know what's working? Besides the fact that it got, you know, 16 thumbs up and a heart and a, you know, this whole nine yards, there's got to be a way to track that stuff. And for the person that's like, yeah, I know what a hashtag is, but like, are they really that important? Because I see some posts with like, it's nothing but a hashtag. It's just like, you know, love my coffee this morning, hashtag this, hashtag that, hashtag, hashtag. Yeah. And then I see other people that never use hashtags. So on the scale of like 1 to 10, how important are they? And do you really need to do like, oh, this would have worked, but you should have made this plural hashtag, or like, what's the deal with hashtags?
Well, yeah, and hashtags have given us all a big hashtag headache. But the thing is, if you are an account that has like 20,000 or less followers on Instagram, I think you should use them. For the rest of the social media platforms like LinkedIn and Facebook, use around 3. But the way that hashtags were designed to work, and the reason why one of the things that we've seen transition with hashtags is that these platforms have gotten a lot smarter and the algorithms have gotten a lot smarter. Hashtags were designed to kind of be a library of categorizing what the content was about. So this is where on Instagram, you need to be very, very specific on what the content is about, who the content is for, and what it is that you offer. So, you know, just doing hashtag podcast, you're never going to be seen on it. You're that hashtag. You'll be on it for like 1/1,000,000,000 seconds or whatever. That's how fast you'll be on there, because those big accounts that do hashtag podcast, they have the algorithm helping them with their hundreds of thousands of followers already engaging with it and pushing them higher, higher, higher up in the algorithm so that they can stay in that hashtag hub longer. So this is where it would be like hashtag Denver podcast, hashtag Denver social media podcast. It's a very, very small one, but I'll live in that hashtag for a whole lot longer, potentially being found by my audience for much longer. But so hashtags are important, but these algorithms are getting smarter. They're looking at not only the hashtag, what is it that your caption says? And this is why the caption is so important, because it is filled with keywords now in SEO. So having the caption that aligns with the hashtag, and it's also looking at the picture. Does the picture make sense with what the caption is talking about? So gone are the days of just being like, okay, well, I'm going to do a picture of, you know, the beach and do hashtag social media, and then I'm going to go viral. Like, those days are gone. So you have to be really careful with what it is that you're saying, the hashtags that you're using, and the picture that's aligned with it.
Well, since we said the dreaded two-letter word, I'm waiting any time now to go down the cereal aisle and see like Frosted Flakes and like Tony the Tiger going with AI. You know, it's just everything has AI. And it seems like I could see where you could have one, you know, AI tool creating hashtags, and then on the other side, another AI tool harvesting them and determining which one's the best one. And so I guess, what are your thoughts on AI in general and how do you use it? Because I'm assuming like everything, it's got its good side and its bad side. So how should we be using that in social?
I think that everyone has gotten really excited about using AI to write their social media posts. Metricool, like I said before, it helps you with your hashtags, so you don't necessarily need to use AI for it. I use AI every single day, but this is where it's so important to know who it is that you're talking to. So I've built out my customer and my client avatar based on my audience and what it is. It knows all about my business. It knows all about my audience on different platforms. And so what I do is I write a social media post and then I pop it into ChatGPT and say, okay, please help me rewrite this post for Sarah, who is my Instagram avatar. And my AI then takes it and rewrites it, knowing that I have a lot of mompreneurs that follow me on Instagram, and shifts the messaging a little bit more so that it focuses specifically for them. And then I say, okay, great. Now let's rewrite this post for Eric, who is my LinkedIn avatar. And that it was not easy to build out these avatars, but now that I've done it, now my social media and writing for these different platforms is really, really easy because I write it once and then I just have AI tweak it based on my avatar and what they consume, how they'll identify with it, what action calls to action that they should make. So if you really want to sit down and figure out who your ideal client is, who it is that you're talking to, use ChatGPT as that robot on your shoulder, not the robot at the keyboard. Because social media was designed to connect humans.
Yes. To be social. Yes.
When we connect, like the power of this podcast right here, Dave, I mean, we connected as humans on social media. I'm sure you could have just had your bot go in and create some content and, you know, whatever, but it's that human to human connection that I feel is we're craving more than ever. And when you go in with intention on social media, you know who you're creating the content for, and you use AI as that power partner, that partner to help you write the content specifically for them. That's when we're going to see a lot of results happen from social media. And it can still be that fun place where you can build community and build your podcast and get leads and make sales, but you have to know what the purpose is behind every single post.
So if I asked you to describe Eric, how detailed an explanation do you have of said Eric, the LinkedIn lead?
Yeah. So I have everything in, like I said, in ChatGPT of my ideal client. His name is Eric. He works as a CMO at a company that has between 500 and 10,000 employees. He's been there for at least 15 years. And his biggest struggles are X, Y, and Z. You know, so it is a very, very long, detailed description of exactly who he is, what his struggles are, his pain points, the type of results that he wants to get. And I fed that all to ChatGPT. The most important thing with this, especially as you're seasoning your ChatGPT, is to save the outputs. Don't ask ChatGPT to do anything. After you've given all this information, do you understand? And just make sure it's understanding what you're saying, because then say, okay, now I want to make sure that you understand with the information I just gave you for Eric, what is a good prompt for me to use to make sure to remind you of this in the future? So then I save all that into a Google Doc just in case, because sometimes the computer gets really confused. And so make sure you save everything, at least these prompts, so that you can remind it in the future of who Eric is in case the robot gets confused.
There you go. Make it a text expander. That way you just hashtag Eric and here's the prompt.
Yeah, there you go.
And, well, you mentioned your book, The Social Shift. Is there anything, because the fun part about writing about technology is the minute it hits the stands, it starts to get outdated. Is there, because I know like my book about podcast monetization, I'm just now recording the audiobook and I'm ecstatic because there's a bunch of stuff that's changed since then. Has there been any major changes when did you release the book?
So I released the book in mid-December.
Okay.
And
so it's still fairly new.
Yeah, so it's pretty recent. I'm fortunate enough that we were just about to go to you know, print, mm-hmm. and Elon changed the name of Twitter to X. So I was able to update all of that. One of the things I do talk a lot about Web3 and, you know, that decentralized web, NFT communities and AI. I wish now with how things have evolved, I would have spent more time on AI and a little bit less on the NFT side of things. I mean, I still think this stuff is still coming. It's still happening. It's just not quite as much as a buzzword as it was
right when
I started writing the book. But I'm fortunate enough right now that nothing too dramatic has changed, but it's still all relevant. Thank goodness.
That's okay. Well, that's good. It's hard to do that with a book. So that's beautiful.
It is.
And I know if we go to your site, we've got Katie's like me. She has many sites, but we'll send people to katiebrinkley.live/SOP. But I know we talked about the four posts. You've got kind of a workbook for that. If you're brand new to Instagram, you've got kind of an Instagram basics course people can go through. And then if somebody's like, yeah, that all sounds good, Dave, I want her to do this for me. How do people go about doing that?
Yeah, you can book an audit with me. You can go to katiebrinkley.live/strategy and we can do a call together and see if we're a good fit. You know, it's social media. The four post strategy is designed to make it less overwhelming. You're on less platforms, you're posting less. Everything is designed to make it easier for you to stay committed to it. I want everyone to love social media again. I feel like all of us kind of hate it, but we all are on it anyways. And social media really can be a magical place of connecting and building your community without borders. You can fall in love with it again when you're not on it all the time.
That's it. I really think that's it. Cause then you're just going to be like, ugh, not again.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have links to everything out at schoolofpodcasting.com/927. Katie, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'll have links to katiebrinkley.live/SOP is where you can find all of her stuff, as well as Metrical, all out at schoolofpodcasting.com/927. But the thing that jumped out at me, she said it a couple times, and it's so true. It all starts with knowing who are you talking to. Think about it. If you're doing a dinner party and you find out that everyone who's coming is vegan, that is less work for you because you know who your audience is. Again, everything we mentioned, schoolofpodcasting.com/927.
Ooh, now that's a good question.
Here's a question that everyone can answer. Right now, there's a lot of talk about YouTube. And I want to know, you have one of three choices. You're not doing anything with YouTube. You're just an audio-only podcast. And there is no right or wrong answer here, by the way. So I'm just doing audio only. Option number two, I'm putting what I call static videos. This is a video with just a static image on YouTube. Or option number three, I'm actually putting full video on YouTube. I would love to know your answer. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/question. And I need your answer by May 24th. And don't forget to tell us a little bit about your podcast and your website. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/question by May 24th. Where am I going to be? Well, May 5th through the 7th, I'm going to be attending Content Entrepreneur Expo in Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland, Ohio. I'm just attending that one. So if you want to hang out, grab lunch, that'd be great fun. Then in August 19th through the 22nd in Washington, D.C., I will be at Podcast Movement. Find me at the Lipson booth. For more information, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/where and see my schedule. Hey, if you know someone who's struggling with social media, could you do me a favor and go to your phone and just share that with that person? Because, well, they're going to say, hey, thanks so much. That Katie Brinkley lady really knows what she's talking about. And hopefully I will then grow my audience, or you could just point them at schoolofpodcasting.com/follow. So thanks so much for tuning in. Until next week, take care. God bless. Class is dismissed.